How's it that trial affected your practice? Are you using bevacizumab in your patients?
Yeah, we are using bevacizumab in patients with non-squamous cell carcinoma outside of a study.
And what specific criteria are you using to use it?
Well, we are still following the ECOG 4599 criteria. So actually, outside of a study context, I would not recommend its use in patients with squamous cell carcinoma or patients with brain metastases, patients on anticoagulants.
What about treated brain metastases?
I think that's also being done in the context of a clinical trial. So I would still adhere to the clinical trial rather than using it outside of a clinical study.
What have been your experiences utilizing bevacizumab?
I think it is a good drug, but there are problems with the complications that you see. Hypertension and hemorrhage is not trivial, and in certain patients, it is very difficult to control if it happens. The half-life of the drug is too long, and it's not just discontinuation of the drug, which changes the picture.
How do you approach the treatment of hypertension? Are you aggressive in terms of trying to lower it in patients with metastatic disease, or you kind of let it go a little bit higher than you might otherwise?
Yeah, we let it go a little bit higher. It usually comes down, and it's only a problem in a few patients.
What about hemorrhage? What are your thoughts about the observations? There was some more data presented at ASCO.
Yeah.
Can we identify patients at high risk for this?
I don't think we have been able to identify except for those centrally located tumors which cavitate, but none of the risk factors were identified except that if a patient had previous history of slight hemorrhage.
Have you yourself had patients with hemorrhage one day?
I have not had a patient. It's just probably some sort of a luck that I've not seen anybody who has had any significant hemorrhage.
When you counsel a patient who's about to begin chemo bevacizumab, what number do you give them as a risk for hemorrhage?
Well, the risk for hemorrhage is less than 5%. So I think that it's 4.7% and the fatal is 1.8% or 1.9% if the FDA changed it to 2.3%. So I think those are the numbers which are floated. So if it is less than 5%, is probably the message which is given to the patient.
How do the patients respond to that?
The patients are concerned to a certain extent, but the thing is that they're also excited by the fact that there is improvement in survival. So a patient who's got significant coronary artery disease, I would probably shy away from giving him bevacizumab.
Any thoughts about why you think this might be going on? People have talked about maybe it's part of a response. What do you think?
The hemorrhage is a part of the response. There is cavitation in the tumor, but see, we excluded patients with squamous cell carcinoma, so we do not have a real clear picture whether it was the cavitation in the tumors which is causing the hemorrhage. But it is a class effect. We know that.
Do you think that that's going to be a concern in the adjuvant setting? I mean, people are thinking that it might not be because it's microscopic disease.
Yeah, there is no evidence of tumor. That's one thing. And provided there are no surgical complications, I think that the patients will be able to tolerate it. But I think that the critical part of the study is accruing the first 100 patients.